Changing Lives, Life Changes Network presents A Voice of Truth and Inspiration. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with unforgettable, ever-insightful conversations that captivate our fascination and insatiability for the inspiring moments of real-life journeys. As we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of ourselves and the world in which we live, always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. This is Life Changes with Filippo, and tonight's guest is internationally known speaker, karma buster, and best-selling author, Joe Nunziata. And now your host, our MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Welcome, everyone. Ciao, and thank you, Mark, for that introduction. I am excited to have Joe Nunziata on our show. I say it that way because, as an Italian-American, I'm wanting to say Joe Nunziata, but I know that's not the way he says his name. But his mother would appreciate it, maybe his father, too, if I said it that way. You know, actually, it's interesting that we're going to be talking a little bit about growing up maybe Italian American or growing up in neighborhoods of New York where thoughts are a certain way sometimes when culture kind of and tradition guides us in a certain way. And it's so interesting to me, and I'm excited to be talking about something a couple days before a huge event that will be happening in the next couple of days, and something that'll be happening all over the world. And no, I'm not saying that. How do I say this? Okay, it's not an easy topic, I think, for any of us to talk about. It's 9/11, actually, and this show is on September the 5th, and so in a few days, a lot of people will be commemorating or memorializing or whatever we want to call it, 9/11, a 10-year anniversary of that date. Now, what's interesting to me is I belong to a huge circle, of course, Life Changes, a huge circle of friends and organizations that believe in positive changes, that believe in our thoughts create things, that believe in what you focus on expands, that believe in we are the power in our world, and the power or the law of attraction. These are the things that we, quote unquote, as a group, these people, myself, and say we believe in. And yet we are so entrenched in either the traditional way of thinking, the way we've been taught, or the way that we subconsciously do think, that we're not seeing that we're going, most of us, a lot of us, completely against any of what we say we believe, any of what we say is our new thought, is our better way, is our new age thinking, is the new energies on the planet, and we go against them. And in fact, end up creating more of what we say we don't want. I had the, what do I call it? Let me say I just had the experience of having been in New York, in downtown, on the morning of 9/11. As a matter of fact, I was quote-unquote supposed to fly out that morning. Obviously, I say quote-unquote because I wasn't supposed to. But I thought I was going to. And, of course, we all know what happened, and we don't have to get into that. But what truly did happen, and I'm not talking about what physically happened per se that we all, again, know about. But I asked a couple of my friends who are very enlightened, very spiritual, what happened on 9/11. And of course, these beautiful people who believe in beautiful things happening in the world to come said all these awful things that happened. And I was amazed that I, like them, for a while, only saw that until I shifted truly my focus. Where I ended up was, on that day, one of the most beautiful things happened that has ever happened on this planet. In certain communities, whether it's environmental or music or whatever, we talk about getting the world together in Live Aid and telethons and this and that. Let's all come together in prayer and let's have an Earth Day and let's have a this day where we can all meditate together. We can all be as one together. Do we recognize that on that day, more than any other day in the history of our known civilization, and even since all us beautiful people have said, let's all get together and be as one, and imagine, on that day, the whole world, except for a handful of people who obviously did something, maybe 100,000 people did something, but that 100,000 people compared to the billions that were focused on sending love, being in oneness with Americans and New York, and peace on this planet, and peace to the people that had lost loved ones. There was so much love, so much togetherness, and it lasted for quite a while. I don't hear talk of that. And I'm not saying, you know, bad to the spiritual people who are perpetuating this, because we're all doing it. But I'm saying we can be thinking differently, because if what we focus on expands, what if we were focusing on that? I'm having trouble with this because I have literally been invited to memorial after memorial. I won't be here. Ironically, I will be in New York singing, of all things, bringing joy to people. I will be singing songs of love and of hope and inspiration on that day. It just so happened to be. So I won't be here to go to all these events, but I see all my beautiful friends that are working so hard to work against themselves and everything that they are really, truly believing in. So I've been invited to memorial after memorial of the awful things that happened on that day. I'm just thinking, if we went to a wedding, as has happened before, and Joe probably has been to a couple of these weddings before too. If we went to a wedding, beautiful, joyous event with hundreds of people, as Italian weddings are known to have hundreds of people and hundreds of bridesmaids and bridegrooms. If we went to one of those and somebody broke a fight between two men that had some kind of grudge against each other, on the anniversary of that wedding, would we get together to commemorate that fight every year? One could argue that it was the fight that happened on that wedding, on that day. And it's not comparative to a wedding, because everything else that I'm speaking of happened because of it. But everything else that I'm speaking of did happen. It happens to be one of the most beautiful things, everything else that is, that ever happened on this planet. And today being the 5th, we have 5 or 6 days to consider. Maybe on these memorials, we can spend a little bit of time talking about all the love that came in for Americans, or all the unity that we were. I just got to throw this in. I did some research before coming on the show, but there are sites from Muslims organizations that list themselves in support of America that were started on the day after that, or and weeks after that, and that are still there. Have we been grateful for that and for those people who didn't believe? And I mention Muslims only because of the faith that supposedly the people that did this were. And I'm not pointing fingers, I'm just saying that we have 6 more days, and on those days, because a lot of us are going to be at these events, may we remember to think of the good that happened on that day as well, if not maybe exclusively, so that we can manifest much, much more of that. And in just a few minutes, we're going to be manifesting all kinds of good stuff with our guest, Joe Nunziata, right after this.
Clean water is not enough. reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb, and rob minerals from the body. IonWays ionizers produce a super abundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an IonWays ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. And ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. IonWays Water Systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about IonWays Water Systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
We're back. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and today our guest is Joe Nunziata. He is an internationally... I did it again. Joe Nunziata. Sorry about that. Joe Nunziata is an internationally known speaker, karma buster, and best-selling author of Spiritual Selling, Finding Your Purpose, No More 9-to-5, and soon-to-be-released Karma Buster Books. He has been delivering his life-changing message at seminars and events since 1992. His unique blend of psychology, philosophy, spirituality, and the power of energy resulted in revolutionary new programs and seminars. And so now he specializes in helping people identify and break through the subconscious energy barriers that are holding them back. Welcome, Joe, to the show.
Thank you, Filippo. Thank you. I love to hear my name pronounced. That when I was in Italy, that's the way they said it. So that is the way it is meant to be said, as you know.
you know, it's interesting that we're having this show on the 5th, and not only are you Italian American, but you're from New York.
Yes, I am a New Yorker. I'm originally from Brooklyn, New York. Just moved out here last week, actually 2 weeks ago, out to California. But spent my entire life in New York, New York City, and Brooklyn, in the boroughs, and. I've been a New Yorker, so making a big shift myself.
So, first of all, welcome to California.
And, thank you.
you know, how does what I shared during the monologue relate to some of your work and maybe some of what you know about New York tradition or mentality or, you know, entrenched Italian-American mentality, whatever, something like that?
Well, you know, it's funny you talk about 9/11 because that day, at that time, I was doing this work part time and I had a full time job. I was working for a company as a sales director, and the day of 9/11, I was actually at Kennedy Airport on a plane that was stopped because the first plane had hit the tower, and then they told no one knew what happened in the airport. They just said, "Oh, you know, there's been an accident. We're grounding everything for now." And I remember getting off the plane and waiting, and then the second plane hit, and of course, the whole thing unfolded. And I was at the time living on Long Island, which was about 30 miles outside New York City. I used to take the railroad. Well, we have this railroad train that goes into New York. And every morning I would take the train. And I remember the days following the event, the train was always, you know, people talking and having their coffee and bustling. And I'll never forget the first day getting on the train, which I got on the train on the 13th. But I did not go to work the next day. We closed the office. But I remember everybody sitting there in a somber silence the entire train ride, which never happened before. People were talking on phones and doing all different things. And then I remember coming out of the train and walking up the steps and seeing all the posters on the walls of all the people who were missing and all those people who were trying to be, obviously, who were never found. And
right.
it was a very amazing feeling for New York because, you know, New York is so crazy and fast and wild. And all of a sudden, this very somber, quiet feeling that kind of encapsulated the city for a while. And it, you know, what you said is very interesting because I think for a while people shifted, but unfortunately in my eyes, I think what has come out of it, although there's been some good, I think the society actually got worse. And I don't know why that is, but to a degree we kind of went from this was an opportunity, which I think a lot of people did take the opportunity to change themselves. But as it evolved out of it, we almost went into an overdrive back into the 80s and recreated another big mess. So it's very interesting how the whole thing played out. But it was an interesting time to be in New York. I noticed it that it did last for a while, and then little by little things started to get back to normal. But it was certainly a shifting of energy for people, and it definitely woke people up. Some people, I don't know. But it was an interesting time there.
You know, it's interesting that you say that. You reminded me of something, because as I shared, I was there, and I was right. not able to get out. And so I was right. there for that rest of that week. And I was there with my friend Laura De Leon. And that first, those first few hours or that afternoon, I admittedly was running around crazy like everybody else, trying to get out of the city. And not being able to, et cetera. And I was part of the craziness and the frenzy. And then there was a point where we noticed there was no way out. And it's interesting because Laura and I both kind of resigned to the fact that, okay, we're not getting off the island today or now. So what are we going to do? So we made the best of it, and we just kind of walked around the best that we knew how. And we walked around kind of just being in the moment. And what did we notice and what did we participate in when we got out of the frenzy was people hugging, people crying, people console each other, people opening up their stores and giving away food or whatever was needed. And we got into that and hugging strangers and helping strangers, even though they didn't really need help. We just felt, you know, some people that we met didn't need help. Just wanted to say something nice or give a smile. And I have a feeling now that we're talking about this, and I'm glad that we are, that had we focused on that, like all over the city, something beautiful is happening. Look at what people are doing. That's not where we've been focused as a world, I understand. But had we focused on that, we would have had that change that you're talking about that almost happened but didn't. Instead, we reverted, you say, to something else as a society, because maybe the negative stuff was being drilled into us, where it was being drilled into us more than we were even conscious of.
Well, I think that's obviously what it's all about. You know, as a person who worked in advertising, and I sold news shows, so I knew what it was all about and getting ratings and what people want to watch. And, you know, we've seen, you know, this explosion on television with these reality shows, and all these shows focus on negative. They focus on fights, they focus on violence, they focus on backstabbing, they focus on upset, they focus on drama, very similar to the news. The news reflects the same thing. They focus on bad things happening and accidents and all those kinds of things. And again, this is where all this gets perpetuated to a large degree, because we are conditioned to go to that place, because that's what we are seeing all the time. So as you know, you said, and I agree, there was an opportunity to see the other side of it, but unfortunately, this is the world we live in, and this is the focus that we are here, people like you and myself, that we want to shift.
And here is our opportunity right now on radio. You and I and Mark and BBS Radio and Dorothy, we're talking about it in a different way. And in a sense, this is kind of what you do. You take, like, for example, selling, which is thought of as, you know, trying to get people to buy something they don't want to buy. And you say, well, there's a spiritual selling. And then finding your purpose, meaning like aligning with who you are here and actually being happy to be here and doing what you want to do. No more 9-to-5. You know, you're saying, and Karma Buster with your books and your seminars and all that, you're saying, hey, people, it doesn't have to be what you've been conditioned to believe, right?
Yeah, well, you know, again, it's shifting how you see it, because this is all these are all the things that people have been conditioned to do. And what happens is, I'm kind of similar, sounds like you're similar to me. I'm a bit of a research buff, and I'm a history buff. So I like to find information that is true. And one of the interesting things that I found out as I'm going through this, it's almost like you're uncovering all the truth based on all the things you've learned that are not true. So now you're uncovering all this truth and saying, oh, my God, I learned this, it's really this. I learned this, it's really that.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm going through the process, one of the things that came up, you know, we're talking about Italians and Catholics and all that kind of stuff, was learning about the Catholics.
Oh, I didn't talk about the Catholics. You just brought that up.
Well, I'm going to bring up the Catholics for a minute. But just talking about, you know, we were very drilled into the religious belief system and, you know, the priests and all that kind of stuff. And I started to research a little bit more. And what I found was I found out why the priests, because early on, if you go way back, the priests actually did get married. And then later on, the church decided, well, you know what? When these priests die, we have to now pay for their families and feed their families. we don't want to do that, so we're going to make a rule that says the priests can't get married, and they kind of masked it in this whole idea that this makes them more holy. But that's not really why they did it. So this is just some of this, just, again, starting to uncover all the truth. We were fed information that we absorbed as children from a source, whether it's your parents or grandparents or school, and we took that as the truth. But you have to, I think, one of the things to become, to make change and be a person who's going to be a spearhead for change, you have to find out the truth and then deal with it. And this is something that makes people uncomfortable because they don't like the idea that you're challenging their belief system and you're challenging what they have known their whole lives, and you're shattering a lot of these ideas and thoughts and feelings and beliefs. So it does create disruption, and people have to be willing to go there if they're going to facilitate positive change and really move their lives forward.
You know, I like that. And yes, we are similar in that way. And I like to find the truth, which is like, oh, to prove the lie wrong. And that used to get me excited. And in some ways, it still does. But I have to admit. But now I'm trying to, I've been finding that I look for a different truth, or rather for a different reason. So, for example, when people say, well, my life sucks, or the world sucks, and it just is. I mean, just look at it. It sucks. This is the world we live in, or something like that. I say, well, and they say, I don't want to lie to myself. I'm not, you know, going to lie and say, no, it doesn't suck. And I say, okay, then don't say it doesn't suck. But is there one thing that doesn't suck? Well, yeah, my kids are great. I love my kids. Okay. All right. So the world is not completely effed up. You know, there are your kids in the world, and they're beautiful, and they're loving, and you love them, and they make you feel good, or you make them feel good. So think about them more often. And I'm not saying that the other stuff doesn't exist, but if we just keep giving focus to the other stuff, then it diminishes, unfortunately, the good stuff, but also it doesn't help grow the good stuff.
Yeah, and again, it goes back to what you're talking about. It's easy to focus on negative. You have to understand we're conditioned to be negative. People have to understand that. You grow up from the beginning. You're starting off, you come here, the initial feeling that every human being shares is shame, because when we leave the other side and when we come here,
we're naked.
We're disconnecting from source. So we're leaving. We're bad. We're ashamed. So there's a feeling of shame that we all share as human beings here in third dimensional form, and that is our first feeling that we have. That's the original sin. It's the feeling of being ashamed. So you have to understand. Now you're coming in here, and you're in a negative environment to a large degree because that is the focus of people: pain, suffering, negativity, struggle. So we have to overcome this by reconditioning ourselves. This is a big task, because you're really, again, going back to what I talk about karmically, you're rewriting your script, you're rewriting your DNA code, you're rewriting yourself. And it is a very big task to take on, because it's so deeply ingrained in who we are and how we see the world. We're viewing the world based on the original sin, and then what we have been absorbing since we're here, which is, unfortunately, a lot of negativity and fear and jealousy and all these types of things that we've been seeing for so many years, and it becomes ingrained in who you are, and it is challenging to get rid of it. It can be done, but again, it takes vigilance and work, and as you know, it takes time.
You know, I don't know if everybody hears your accent. Maybe I'm just in tune to it, because I like it. It's not, you know, as an Italian-American, it's not something I have, but I sense it in you, and I'm sensing that it's going away the more I talk to you. And I think you should keep it. But anyway, I just see you coming out of, you know, like the whole Jersey kind of New York, Brooklyn kind of thing, with this bat saying, okay, what's your problem? I'll bust it out of you, or something. It's like, you know, let's bust this stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, you have to understand, it's any change is disruptive, and any change is going to really shake you up. That you have to understand. And if people, this is why, you know, Filippo, this is why most people don't change, because they don't want to go through the process of being disrupted, being upset. Moving here was a gigantic karmic shift for me, because you know, growing up in the Northeast in New York, my karma was all about enmeshment. My wife is also Italian-American. It's very enmeshed with the family. It's being close by. It's seeing everybody all the time. It's being in this drama, which is really what it is, this karmic drama. So for us, the ultimate karma buster, which is why I'm writing this book right now, which is why we did this now. This is all part of me experiencing the ultimate karma busting as I write the book, is, okay, now I'm going to get up and I'm going to leave and I'm going to break this cycle of energy and I'm going to get away from all of this. And again, everybody's karmic energy is different, but it's taking that step into this other place, which is going to be disruptive, which is going to bring up all your fears, which is going to bring up all these different issues. That is how it is going to be done. And it takes, you know, not everybody's ready to do it. But if you want to really facilitate that type of change, you have to be willing to go out and disrupt yourself and put yourself in that position of intense discomfort. That's when you're going to see the greatest change.
Yay. I like that. I like how you're saying it, and it makes it clear. And yes, I believe that there is a way of changing without as much disruption. And I think that's part of what you do. And we'll talk more about that when we come back. Our guest is Joe Nunziata. And if you want to learn more about him, you can go to our website, of course, at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. And that's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Or you can go directly to his website at www.jnunziata.com. And there you can learn about his seminars, his events, his one-on-ones, and his books. We'll be right back with Joe Nunziata and our producer, Mark Leger, right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
I am Joe Nunziata. Wow. Wonder what that's about. Joe, can you help me bust that out of me? I am Filippo Voltaggio, and our guest is Joe Nunziata. I was getting ahead of myself. I'm actually headed to New York, and you're coming from New York, which is kind of odd. But he is an internationally known speaker, karma buster, and best-selling author of many books, of some of which we're going to be talking about right now. Let's talk about some of this, whether it's spiritual selling or finding your purpose. I mean, karma busting, it's all directed towards kind of aligning with who we are and what we're here to do and kind of being happy about it.
Well, it's accepting it. That's a big deal. You know, most people are in denial or in repression or don't want to accept what's going on in their lives. And that's, of course, holds them hostage. So the first thing we have to do, what I do with people or clients, is let them understand and say, well, okay, you chose this life, you chose everything in your life to deal with, to come here and experience, have this experience on an emotional level. So the minute you are in resistance of that, you are stuck. And this, of course, creates a lot of problems for people because they start to get very upset when I say, well, you know, you wanted to be sick or you wanted to be alone or you wanted to have no job or you wanted this, you know, you wanted this. This was what you came to experience. And people have a hard time accepting that because they say, why would I want that? Of course, it doesn't make any sense to us on a logical level. But we did it because we came to have an emotional experience, and we did not come, you know, that's why we're here. And getting past that resistance, that core of resistance, is very powerful because it gets people to begin to move into acceptance. It starts to open up their flow of energy, and then it allows them to go forward. So that's usually the first obstacle that people face to make these changes and break through, is to start to get into acceptance and say, okay, this, I'm here, I chose this, this is what I want, let me deal with it and go forward. That's a big step forward for people. A lot of people resist, so that's where we begin.
Joe, this is Mark Legere. I'm going to chime in here because I really resonate with what you're talking about. and as I've been on my journey, which Filippo and I share with our listeners, and of course are here because we're sharing it together, the overcoming that initial conscious acceptance obviously is a major hurdle and something that's difficult to do for people to actually owning it, right? Owning your life. But going beyond that, the real... I can remember the day when I realized that I was up against something that I couldn't see, right? That realization of your subconscious blueprint, and you start looking back at the programming and the experiences that you've had and that Catholic upbringing, which I had as well, and it could be any religion, I'm not necessarily singling them out, but the programming that comes from these experiences, and then realizing that you are making decisions and or emotionally reacting based on those lines of code, if you will, that was a real headbuster for me.
Yeah, that's, you know, enlightenment is, of course, being in the light. That's an enlightened moment when you start to say, oh, my goodness, you start to see it. And when I did the work, the best way I described it to people was I got a new pair of glasses. I said I had a pair of glasses where I could see 20 feet, and now I have a pair of glasses where I could see 1,000 feet. And that was the way I was describing it to people, where it wasn't like all that information wasn't out there. I just couldn't see it. And I was not allowing myself to see it. Once you start seeing it, you move into the light, as you're speaking of, and it changes everything because you start to see everything from a different platform and a different perspective. And then you start to be, this is really the beginning of becoming empowered. And that's how it all begins. But that's a huge step, stepping into that light and then seeing things from a different perspective and understanding there's a deeper meaning. And that is a huge, huge step forward for people. And that is where we begin to step into the light. And that's how we start to become enlightened.
Mark, isn't this interesting that you talk about that, and now Joe is using these exact words about stepping into the light, seeing it for the first time, being able to see things finally. And just yesterday, you sent me a video that I think we should probably post up on Life Changes Network. You sent me a video of chimpanzees that had never seen the light of day, sunlight, and they'd only seen humans in lab coats. And for the first time, they were let out after 30 years of being in a lab, and they saw the sun for the first time, and they saw people dressed normal, and it was a whole new world for them. And at first, they were scared and trying to get back in, but then afterwards, they were like jumping for joy, and it's like, wow, I see the light, you know, I can see clearly now that the lab coats are gone.
That's a great line. And Joe, that's what, you know, you just what you illuminate, that, you know, the video that Philippe was talking about really is an analogy to what you're saying, because we've in essence been working within a certain set of rules. And so I think what I love about what you do from as I'm learning is kind of meeting people halfway, because you're not going to completely change how they see things, right? You're going to be able to help edge them towards enlightenment, but you have to somehow kind of reveal it to them in a space that they live, you know, in a place that they are, so they can accept the information, right?
Well, everyone's different. You know, it depends on, you know, you kind of meet people where they are. When I first started, I was a little more of, as my wife would say, a Spartacus approach, which was, you know, I'm gonna come at you with the sword and put you on the ground and say, do it this way. So,
did you wear the skirt too and the sandals,
sword? I had the whole outfit, actually. So okay. I still do, and I can summon it when needed. But I know I have a lot of warrior DNA in my life. I was told that from another psychic. But So after I started doing that, because I was just so excited to try to help people, I realized, okay, you know, this is not working. It was and it wasn't. So it was about, okay, I'm going to put it out there and then let you take it the way you want to take it. So that's a very big, as a teacher, it's important to understand that my job is to put it out there. Your job is to take the step forward and then do with the information and do with the whatever it is, that whatever I show people, meditation and different techniques, then you do with that, you move at your pace, because everyone will move at their own pace based on where they are in their lives and where they are energetically. So that's what you have to let people do, kind of allow them to go through the journey their own way, and then that makes it special for them, and then they can do it in a way that's comfortable. And once in a while, you know, we all need a little kick, but overall it's allowing people to kind of come to these things themselves, and then you guide them through. I think that's the importance of a teacher. You're really a guide. You're not doing the work for them, and you don't want to take credit for it. You just want to say, okay, I'm just here to kind of put you on the path. And all my teachers, that's what they would say. We're not here to, you're here to do the work. We're here to just kind of guide you through the process.
You know, Joe, I'm really resonating with this Spartacus thing. I remember years and years ago when I first started to see certain things more expandedly, I should say, than I was seeing before. I remember when a dear, dear friend came to me and actually set up a time for us to meet at a coffee shop, and it was this big ordeal, and sat down, and with emotionality and tears in his eyes, he said that he was HIV positive. And what the Spartacus in you came out in me and said, congratulations, you got what you wanted. And you know, that wasn't at that moment.
Yeah, that wasn't the best.
I know there was another way. It took us, you know, a good half hour, and thankfully only a half hour, to get to the other side of what the heck I meant by that. And I was wondering the same thing, like, why would that be my first response? But at the end of the half hour of conversation, he said, you know, you're right, because I was always afraid of it, and this was looming on me, and now I can do whatever I want and not worry about it. And then I went and said to him, I said, I don't feel you're going to die from this anytime soon. I don't feel like you're going to have any complications. And I really felt that. And this has been many, many, many years. And he's had no problems, no issues, no complications. And he's been able to live actually a lot less sexually active life, a lot less freer. I mean, a lot more free of that confinement, of that fear, which is an interesting thing.
Yeah, and again, you know, we learn, I think, as we go through our own processes, we learn how to handle different people in different ways, and how to even deal with our own selves. Like, that is our way of doing something. It's almost that ingrained way of reacting to a situation. And then you say, wait a minute, I need to adjust myself to do this in a way. You know, one of the things that the woman who taught me a lot of this work, we would always have this conversation, and one of the things she would say was, you don't want to have people shut down on you because you're going too far to one side. You want to keep it, you want to maintain who you are, but you don't want to go too far, because then you're going to shut people down. And when you get too vigilant, you have a tendency to shut people down. So there's a difference between being powerful and really being in that mode of saying, I'm here to share and help everybody, and or being in the egoic side, which is the fear-based side that I lived in for a long time, which was, okay, I'm going to force this down your throat whether you like it or not. So that's a very, you know, when you move out of the egoic state, you're in a pure sense of, hey, I'm here to have fun with this. I want to make it fun. I want to help you. I want to share it. Your success, what you do with it, has nothing to do with me. See, and that's where we get caught up. Like, I would get very caught up in, well, if you didn't do the work, I did something wrong. Or if you didn't do, you know, follow through, I did a bad job. And after a while, you realize that's not true. I'm just here to put it out there, and then that's where my responsibility ends. And when you can take it from that perspective, it helps you, because you're putting too much pressure on yourself to think, hey, you know, I'm going to say this and you have to do it. And one of the most valuable lessons I've ever learned doing this work was, you can only help the people who really want to be helped. And as frustrating as that may be, because you may say, well, I have friends and I have family members who I know I can help, and to see them be stuck and know that they do not want to change, that is a very disturbing thing at first. And then you have to, that's another acceptance. Okay, that's what they want to do. I have to accept that. and be okay with it and know that that's their path and that has nothing to do with me. So these are all the things you learn as you go through these processes and move out of the ego and move closer to your true self.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really liking this conversation. And what I heard there too in what you're saying is that you have to remember you in the equation, that though you're helping somebody, quote unquote, go through their experience or have a better experience or whatever, in that moment, you are still you. You are still living your experience, and it has to be about your experience. And there again, there's a learning process there too, because I've either made my mistakes or kind of gone too far the other way. But when another friend called me and told me that he was in a hotel room high and thought that he was seeing things and he was hallucinating or whatever, I didn't, and he was totally gone on drugs. I at that moment, after having dealt with this same friend and other friends during their other issues, I decided, hey, this is my moment too. And I want to have fun. I'm tired of going into these situations to, quote unquote, help friends or clients or what have you, and feel sick to my stomach and feel like, oh my God, they might die or what if? And I just went in there celebrating. I got all dressed up and I went in there saying, okay, so what's going on? It wasn't appreciated, but on the one level, it's like, wait a minute, it's my experience too. And that actually has been the last experience for that friend, because no longer did he get what he wanted out of me, which was maybe that pity, that sorrow, that's not how he's going to get that from me.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting that you bring that up, Filippo, because we also have cycles of energy with people. And it's, you know, it's a relationship, it could be romantic, it could be friendship, it could be family members, where you know, okay, I've finished this cycle with this person. Leaving New York for me now was that happened with so many different people, where I saw new things starting and things ending and cycles coming to an end and, you know, cycles of energy in a location. That's another thing. But you see that cycle. It's, okay, we've both taken this as far as we can, and whatever work we came here to do together, that's finished, and we both need to move on. It's not good or bad. It's just that's the end of the cycle. That could be a work cycle. That could be a business cycle. That could be a friendship cycle. It doesn't matter. It's all part of how this works, and that's also something you have to accept. Okay, this is the end of this, which means it's the beginning of something else. Again, part of this cycle, part of the shift, part of understanding that that's how life is. Nothing is going to be there all the time, and we go through these cyclical changes with individuals, with locations, where you may say, hey, you know what? I knew for the last few years that I had to come out here. I don't know why, but it was something that I knew I had to do to energetically do this for myself. So that's in the end, my cycle in New York ended. Doesn't mean I won't, maybe I'll 5-10 years from now, I'll be back there for whatever. I don't know. But you have to trust your feelings and say, hey, if this relationship or this job or this whatever it is fizzling out and I see it's ending, it's over. And just let it go.
Wow. Well, you know, I see this conversation and what we're doing here all together is the start of something big. I'm glad you're close. You're in California, and I'm glad we've had this conversation, and I'm glad you're out there doing what you're doing, Joe. Thank you for being on the show with us and sharing all this information.
And I really appreciate the opportunity of you giving me to again reach more people and talk to more people and again to share your energy with your group. It's a blessing for me, so I want to thank you so much for that opportunity.
No, well, you're welcome and very good. Thank you for saying that. Well, with that, we have been talking to Joe Nunziata, who is an internationally known speaker, karma buster, and best-selling author. If you want to learn more about him or Top Notch Training, his company, for either one-on-ones or his seminars, you can go to, of course, lifechangeswithfilippo.com, or you can go to jnunziata.com. That's JNUNZIATA.com. And we will be back with our producer's wrap with Mark Legere and I right after this.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world.
From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, and with us is...
Mark Legere.
Mark... I don't know. I'm sorry. They sound like a cow.
thanks.
A holy
it's good thing
cow.
I've been working on my diet. I would have taken that personally.
A holy cow. And we've been talking to Joe Nunziata, and that was one quite interesting conversation.
That was a great conversation. Joe really comes at things from a real-world perspective, and it kind of stands on that bridge that you and I refer to so often of being able to look at the spiritual journey and the things that the obstacles that we put in our way in order to experience and overcome, but do it in such a way that it's real-world and kind of no BS. I like that approach.
Yeah, you know, when I first got to know him and talk to him, I of course got the accent, and of course from the name I could tell that he was Italian American, and it just reminded me of some of the conversations that I've had with some old world kind of thinkers that in some ways are very practical. And I know there's a way of bridging this. You know, not everything from the old world is do we want to keep, but some things we do. For that matter, maybe not anything, not everything of the new world we're creating in our mind do we want to keep either, because someday we'll see, oh yeah, no, that wasn't the way to do it. No, I'm glad it happened this way. So there are bridges all over to the past and bridges to the future.
Well, this is what was resonating so much, and I kept seeing while he was speaking, was the need, embracing change. You know, these words are difficult to wrap your arms around, but the idea of being flexible. We are so chemically, as chemical beings, in terms of how our bodies work, we're chemically addicted or connected to our programming and to the emotional tags and emotionality of situations that surround that programming or belief system. And you know, the moment that you can step back from that and realize that program can change, the minute you have that next aha. You know, something is weird to somebody in one place that may be totally normal to somebody in another place because that's all they've known. And this is the in large part the biggest difficulty in order to, you know, that stands in the way of our personal journeys, is to be able to overcome, you know, that kind of self-limiting programming.
Absolutely. Mark, you remind me, some famous guru, world leader, or Zen Buddhist, or somebody said something.
Puppeteer?
Maybe it was me. Anyway, said something like, you know, believe in everything and believe in nothing, or take everything with a grain of salt, or you know, one of those kind of things. And I'm really starting to see the wisdom here in this. You know, it's kind of like allowing for the possibilities. I remember a friend of mine, two friends, one friend got involved in some multi-level marketing or something and was trying to convince her friend that she should buy this because it's the best product ever and whatever. And her friend wisely said, she didn't say no, she said, in 3 months, let's talk about this. And the friend was like, no, you got it, because now's the time. And she's like, fine, I believe you, but let's talk about it in 3 months. Well, of course, we all know what happened. In 3 months, the MLM either went away, or she lost interest, or there were other things that were much better out there. And so that she was sincere, I know, this other person, saying in 3 months. So, you know, with all these new ways of thinking, and it's like, oh, this is the way, or this is the way to eat, or this is the vitamin, or this is the, okay, in 3 months, or you know, not saying no, but not saying yes completely, because even the good stuff, we later see that, you know, it might have been good in the moment, but it's not good forever, or it's not, you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. Having spent a lot of time on Wall Street, as you know, and been around, you know, evaluating hundreds, if not thousands, of companies' investments, that was a typical discussion that would come from the you know, as we call it, smart money or smart investor. You know, how long has this been around? And or they would set a radar marker where they'd start watching either the company or the investment, and they'd watch it for a period of time, not only to get a track record, but more importantly to see sustainability. And you would see the conversation evolve to the point to where then they would be able to make a decision. But a lot of times it would allow that initial inspiration or the sales tactic that's used only to you know, capture the moment of a sense of urgency, you would see those fall away.
Yeah, and the scary thing to me is, well, it's not as scary anymore, but you know, when I first started to learn about this kind of stuff and to read about it, and I couldn't wait to share it, and I did share it, and I kept telling people, this is it, and this is, I get it, this is the new way, whatever. And now I look back and I say, okay, well, yeah, some of this, but some of this is kind of not. It's kind of like I was talking about during the monologue, is some of us who are saying, oh, you know, what you focus on, we create, and then we go and focus on something we don't want to create, and it's like, no, we don't get it, do we? No, it's not here yet, but we're working on it.
Yeah, well, this is, you know, it's a work in progress, no question.
I hope though we can start seeing more of an emphasis on the progress rather than the work, because some of this has been work, and maybe that's not, you know, maybe it's not supposed to be this hard.
Well, maybe we should just change our words around. So this is a progress of work. No, maybe not.
Maybe not that, but well, we'll look at it in 3 months.
There you go.
No, but there's something there. You have something there. And Joe has something there. And I hate to, you know, well, I don't hate to. I love pushing him towards the, you know, coming away, coming at us like kind of this Jersey, you know, tough guy saying, you know, bust out of this. Because I have to say this. Life is getting more and more interesting as I look at this. Like I know a tough guy, a really, really tough guy. And I mean that in all sense of the word. Actually, I know plenty of them. But the point is that being able to see what I see now, and know what I know, I also see and know their heart and their weaknesses and where they do have love and all that. And where I used to see their toughness as this anger, as this trying to be mean, just to be mean and, oh, they're just bad or whatever. Now I kind of look at it and smile. And when some of these, though nobody has, you know, try to push me around or whatever, and people have always shown me great respect, especially in my, you know, as I sing around the country, whatever, especially with Italian Americans, they show me utmost respect, but I see that side of them, and I used to think, wow, why are they so angry, why are they so this? Maybe we misunderstand it. Maybe this is their way of playing, or maybe this is their enjoyment, or maybe they don't know how to do it any other way. And I'm starting to just allow for it, and it's actually starting to get kind of fun.
It all goes back to that initial programming and that belief system, right? Where certain people have, you know, certain ways of speaking, certain dialects, certain accents, certain social norms that have been built in their neighborhood. You know, how they even talk about, you probably know better than anybody, is you know, within the mob world, if you will, there's a set of rules, right? There's a set of honor. They have their own code, and that may be a heck of a lot different than you know, what the you know, what this group or that group is brought up to believe. But when you step back and you just allow, you can see kind of a beauty in all of it.
Absolutely. And we're going to need to step back here and wrap this up and thank everybody for listening to the show and thank Joe for being a part of it with us. And I, Filippo, along with Mark Legere and Dorothy Lee Donahue and our engineer, Seth, thank you for being part of this show and part of the positive changes that we all wish to see in the world. So good night for now and ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. Now's the time. Now's the time.